It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple reaches a $1 trillion value. Apple Watch saves 2 more lives. The heart study closes, and Instapaper is Instagone on the watch. And the very first jailbreak for the Apple Watch is released. Reviews of Jord Wood Bands, Bandkeeper Storage, Reminders, and Notebook apps. This and a whole lot more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast episode 247, recorded Tuesday, August 8th, 2018, Rocky Mountain High.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome back, Vincent. We missed you last week.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing? Yeah, had a little break.
You had a little break. You were out on the road traveling, I guess.
Indeed.
Or hitting the skies, friendly skies, whatever.
Out in Denver.
Denver, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I can't sleep in Denver. Apparently, the air is too thin.
You took it into oxygen, huh?
I thought it might be some other reason.
Rocky Mountain High.
There you go.
Okay, show title. Also joining us, of course, is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Vincent.
Hey, Chris.
So are we having a good week so far? So far.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Hey,
$1 trillion.
For Tuesday, sure.
Yeah, how about that, huh? Apple had a $1 trillion week, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
They didn't make $1 trillion, but they're worth $1 trillion. We'll talk about that mm-hmm. in the news. Kind of knew that was coming, but no, I don't think anybody expected it quite so quickly. That was pretty fast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been packing all day. I've been distracted this week. We're heading out tomorrow for another odyssey across the United States. We're going to be doing 4 shows, 1 event in 4 different states. So,
wow.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. I'm actually looking forward to getting back out on the road again.
But do tell more. What states?
It's been a while. We'll be hitting, Texas. We're going North Texas, Plano first. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to East Lansing, Michigan. Then Grand mm-hmm. Rapids, Michigan. Then mm-hmm. Madison, Wisconsin. And then Paducah, Kentucky.
There you go.
And then finally home.
Some good cities.
Yeah, kind of hitting the Midwest up there. Mm-hmm. Should be nice. And I also did something this week, a little off topic for a second, but something I've been thinking about doing for a while. I have a question for both of you, because I don't think I've ever asked you this. Do either of you use iCloud Drive?
I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's the drive, you know, that pops up like the Finder. It's like having a virtual drive
right.
on your computer mm-hmm. that you can access all those files on your phone, on your iPad, anywhere that you're logged mm-hmm. in. How extensively do you use it?
It seems to be my file drop of last resort.
Oh, last resort.
Of last resort. So if an app or something like that, I want to download a PDF or an image or something, and then I needed to be able to share it, and I can't use Box or the app isn't signed in mm-hmm. or, you know, I mean, I prefer to use Box.
But, Dropbox.
Box.
Oh, Box. Just Box.
Yeah.
Okay. It's
but,
Box.
But yeah, if I can't do it and the native drive is the iCloud app, I use it there. And for like, if you're doing sketch or you're doing drawings or stuff like that, then it goes in there.
Hmm. Now, I've been using it for a while, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I've gotten real used to it, like dependent on it being there, you know?
Yeah.
And I've been using it more and more, putting more and more stuff in it, and then I realized I'm running out of room.
So
I'm all in now.
How much space do you get?
I upgraded to their absolutely ridiculous 2 terabyte option.
2 terabytes.
Wow.
How much a month?
$9.99.
Okay. So $120 bucks a year.
Yeah, not bad for because
2 terabytes.
I'm putting a ton of stuff on there. Just
yeah, gigs. It's not terrible.
Gigs and gigs of data, but I found myself trusting the cloud more. Mm-hmm. Now, trying to keep files synced between different computers is getting kind of crazy. So theoretically, if they're all in one place, I only have to update something once, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I wasn't sure if either of you had used it.
I don't use it, Tom. I use Dropbox.
Okay. Yeah. I've used Dropbox. I just prefer the iCloud. I don't know why. I don't like the interface of Dropbox. I don't know why. I know it works almost exactly the same, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Can you do sharing out of there? Your iCloud drive?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm primarily what I use it for. I mean, just being able to share a link out to a colleague or something like that.
Yeah. I don't. Well, you know what? I've never tried that.
Okay.
With iCloud drive. That's a good question. I'll have to try it.
Okay.
Can you load iCloud drive like on a PC? It's only Apple devices, right?
I've not tried that. I think it has to be a Mac. Because you have to log into your iCloud on the computer.
Yeah.
And once you've done that, it just shows up. So
that would be cool if you could.
Anyway.
Yeah. It would be.
Yeah, that would be neat. Okay. Let's see. We kind of briefly mentioned what happened this week. Apple's earnings came out. This past week. Sorry, we're already up to Tuesday of this week. Mm-hmm. This was a week ago. And their estimates, they beat everything that everybody thought they would do. 3.74 billion with a B in revenue from wearables and home products.
Mm-hmm.
So that includes the Apple Watch. That's crazy.
Billion. Mm-hmm. Wow.
With a B.
$1 billion.
Yeah.
Billions.
That's just nuts. That is the other products, which is the, I guess they still sell them. iPods, Apple Watches, all the Home Pods, the Beats headphones, all that kind of stuff, came in at $3.74 billion. But the bigger news is what happened after this. And I predicted, because it usually happens this way, they report record earnings and the stock drops. Well, something completely different happened this time. The stock went off like a rocket and hit an all-time high. I think when it closed the other day, it was at 209.
Yeah, my phone was smoking.
Yeah, it was just crazy. They needed 207 to hit a valuation of $1 trillion. And they became the first U.S. company to do that.
There's another company that hit $1 trillion?
Other companies overseas, I think, a Saudi oil company and some other. There's a few others, but they're the first in the U.S. to ever do it.
Hmm.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
$1 trillion. You know, there was kind of that race between them and Amazon and Google to kind of see who was going to get there first, because they're close. They're not far behind. To hit it, but Apple just knocked it out of the park.
You just think of the companies that you add up their valuation and don't add up to $1 billion. You could take a handful of major corporations and add them together, you still won't get that much.
No, in fact, great segue, because there was an article in Cult of Mac that said Apple is bigger than, okay, they played that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can wrap your head around this, Disney, you know, which makes Marvel and Star Wars movies and owns all the theme parks, its market capitalization is only $113 billion. In order to get to Apple's value, you'd have to add the rest of the U.S. media industry, including Comcast and Netflix, to come close.
Wow.
That would be all media, pretty much. And now Apple's getting into media, so that's going to be interesting. How about putting together Ford, Volkswagen, Honda, and BMW combined?
Mm.
In fact,
their value is higher than every major automaker, because they come shy of, of a trillion if you put them all together. And we know Apple was, you know, toying around with getting into the car business too. And then banks, if you take the largest four U.S. banks, Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Citigroup and Bank of America, they are slightly together worth a little bit more than Apple right now.
Wow.
But Apple's into Apple Pay now. So they got their fingers in all these other areas, which is kind of interesting. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes from here.
They're definitely the foundation for all of these. I mean, all these brands, you look at Comcast and Netflix and and Disney and even like the banks use Apple. I mean, Apple basically is their vendor as the foundation and as a platform to deliver a lot of their services. So you go and you do your banking on the iPhone and you watch Netflix and you watch Comcast, whatever, on Apple TV.
And you listen to use CarPlay in your car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
which I did. By the way, this is going to sound silly, but for the first time this past weekend, my daughter's car for her birthday, we got her a new stereo unit that she put in, and it's just a full touchscreen unit, and it's CarPlay. And I drove her car over the weekend somewhere, and hooked up my phone instantly. It was very simple to do, and it just the way you navigate through is pretty cool. It's pretty neat. I never really knew how well it worked, you know, the connection. And now, of course, we know that with iOS 12, you're going to be able to use third party driving apps like Waze and other ones. So that'll make it even better.
Now, when I get rental cars quite a bit now, CarPlay's an option when you plug in your phone. It'll try to sync up with CarPlay.
Okay.
Yeah, the rentals are all having. I guess from now on, if you buy a new car, it's going to have that, right?
I'm always nervous about like syncing my phone with a car rental.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never do it. I always hit no because I'm always doing conference calls when I'm driving to and from clients or anything. Yeah. But that says a lot about my driving habits, doesn't it?
Right.
but I don't sync it.
Right. I mean, you could accidentally push all your contacts and your music to
exactly whatever
the drive they have on there, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, a couple of years ago, we were in Hawaii and rented a car. And yeah, that whoever rented it before me, all their music and everything was there.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was.
There's the perfect public service announcement.
There you go.
Let's make some phone calls.
Yeah, make sure you delete. There should be a on rental cars, there should just be like a button there that says wipe.
Right.
You know, and takes everything off. So Apple's doing very well. Very, very well. But don't despair if you didn't get in on this. I think there's much, much more to come.
Yeah, if you had invested back in when it went IPO back in 1980 or something, what is it?
If you put in $1,000, I think you'd have over $3.5 million now.
Wow!
If you didn't touch it, if you just put it in and walked away, you'd have that much now.
I was like 11 years old. I don't think I can invest back then.
Yeah, that would have been hard to come up with $1,000 back then. And who would have stuck with it, you know, through the 90s?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the crazy part.
That was painful. Yep.
Yeah.
Especially the guy that actually was a third partner. Remember? I forget his name already.
Wayne.
Wayne.
Yeah. Wayne. Yeah.
Wayne. I forget his last name. Oh, Ron Wayne. Wayne is his last name. Yeah. What did he sell out for? Was it $500 or $800 or something?
I thought it was $1,000, but something dramatically low. And now he's like he plays blackjack in Vegas or something.
Yeah, wow. He kind of missed out on quite a deal. But, you know, at the time, he probably made the right call, you know.
I've
read books and stuff. I mean,
look back.
The two Steves were young and just starting out. He was older. He had a family. You know, he had responsibilities. They didn't. And he didn't see this going anywhere. And he wasn't going to throw any more money or time into it. So I can understand that.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't regret it.
That's what he says.
That's
right?
What he says. okay. Let's right. Let's see what else we want to talk about this week. We got a couple of these stories. We haven't had any in a while. This first one here comes to us from, where is this from? Australia. 24-year-old man. He says he knew something was up when he started getting notifications on his health app and his Apple Watch that said his sleeping heart rate was averaging about 130 to 140 beats per minute. That's while he's asleep at night.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it should be around 60. Let's just put that in perspective, yeah. Okay? He's 130, 140. Went to the doctor, and they confirmed that he had a dangerous abnormality. He had a hole in his heart that he's had since birth. And did not know his. And just to get into the details here, his upper lung was pumping into the wrong atrium of his heart, the right side instead of the left. So the blood, they said, needlessly circulates around the lung and doesn't get out into the rest of your body. Therefore, it beats faster. So they use this robotic 3D, it's called, a thing called Da Vinci, to go in and fix it. So it's a small, you know, not non-invasive, but less invasive than the normal heart surgery. And I think it cuts down the recovery time to like just 3 weeks. And he's back, you know, after 4 days, he's home, which is amazing. Anyway,
it's amazing what they can do with medical.
Oh, unbelievable. And medical
surgeries today.
Ironically, he's studying robotics at school in college. So. But yeah, he says he's an Apple fan for life. I don't think I'd live without one now. I love it for the convenience, but also the fact that it just picked up something medically that I had no idea about and saved his life. So that's great news. We haven't had one of those in a while. And then on the heels of that, like a day or two later, this comes to us from, where is this? South Alabama woman. Mm-hmm. Says her Apple Watch saved her life. On July 20th, her name's Chandler Robertson. She was heading out for a therapy session, and she's involved in a car accident. And she doesn't remember much about it except waking up upside down in her car and not being able to move. She could hear cars going by. She said, I couldn't tell because of my broken ribs. So, oh, man. Her job as a flight attendant, she said they're trained to remain calm in high-pressure situations. She was unable to find her phone, and she used her Apple Watch to call for help. Now, this sounds very typical of what of my experience with the Apple Watch sometimes is. She used it to call her mother, and all her mother heard her say was, "Mom, help me," and then the call dropped.
Oh, gosh.
Then she called her boyfriend and said, "I've had a wreck. I don't know where I am." He said, call 911, and then the call dropped. So her first call to 911, she gave the dispatcher her name before the call dropped again. So she called again, and for some reason that call stayed. It never dropped. She was on the phone with them for 14 minutes till they finally got to her.
They didn't say which version of the Apple Watch she had, right?
She did not say.
Yeah.
But she ended up with six broken ribs, a broken nose, broken sinus cavity, laceration from hip to knee, spleen laceration, and a broken back.
That's quite an accident.
And so she, you know, her phone was found later, way outside the car, totally unreachable. And she says she's forever grateful for everybody who showed up and helped her, all the responders. But there's another case where, you know, she credits the Apple Watch with saving her life. She urges people to wear an Apple Watch and your seatbelt. So, yeah, you gotta wear both. But it's great to hear those stories. Speaking of health, I did not realize that this was a limited thing, but Apple's heart study, right? Are either of you a part of that? Did you sign up?
I'm not.
Are you, Vincent?
I don't recall.
I got the invitation and I signed up a while back. But they're no longer accepting new applicants to participate.
I saw that.
Yeah. So that apparently that part of it has ended on August 1st. The enrollment has ended. They're going to continue to collect data from those participating until this whole thing ends on January 31st of 2019.
Mm. Did they give you any metrics on how many people actually signed up?
That I've not heard. I don't know if they maybe reached their number.
Mm-hmm.
But they do this in conjunction with Stanford, right? I think is
yeah. Their servers ran out of space.
Yeah, their iCloud drive was full.
There it is.
Yeah. But no, what was unique about this is that this system also includes a way for if you are detected with an irregularity, any participant gets a notification. They can get a free consultation with a study doctor and an electrocardiogram for additional monitoring. So mine hasn't gone off, so I'm fine.
But good.
But yeah, I did not know that. I guess that makes sense, right? They only have room for so much.
Yeah.
If it's going to end in the end of January, they probably won't be able to collect enough data if they continue to do it, right? If someone
right.
signs up too late, there's not enough data there to do anything. So, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, man, play the In Memoriam music. We lost another app that was with us from day one. Hmm. Day one.
Yes.
Instapaper is no more on the Apple Watch.
Hmm.
They premiered with the Apple Watch on release day. So Instapaper was bought by – who bought them? Someone big. What company bought them?
Pinterest?
Yes.
Mm.
And now they're going back out on their own, I think.
Okay.
Mm. But the reason they explained that the app is – that they're getting rid of the app, they said the primary reason was – that Apple has, you know, Apple requires that applications from now on be built with anything built with WatchKit 1.0 will no longer be supported.
Right.
Which means mm-hmm. developers need to update their Apple Watch apps or discontinue them altogether. So in a tweet, Instapaper said that the requirement that Apple Watch apps be native. Explaining that Instapaper considered rebuilding it, but usage was so low that it didn't make a lot of sense.
Hmm.
I have a different take on that. If you maybe had updated the app along mm-hmm. the way, maybe more people would have used it.
Right.
But it sounds to me like you built it once and just let it sit there.
Right. About 3.5 years, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I understand WatchKit 1 requires an iPhone. Completely dependent. That app is completely dependent on the phone. Well, you know, how long have we had a cellular watch now? Quite a while. They could have updated for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just, I don't know. I mean,
I guess they didn't see a business case. Or they just wanted to do it in spite. Who knows?
Well, something else happened, though. Originally, it was a $2.99 per month premium upgrade with this app
mm-hmm.
for certain features. When Pinterest acquired them, the app became free. So the money ran out as well, looks like. Anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah. Instapaper, Instagone.
Instagone. There it is.
So,
in the graveyard of apps.
Yep. That's interesting. Turnover as things evolve and change.
I mean, it doesn't mean that they won't come back.
Yeah.
Not all these apps.
That's true.
Yeah.
But they didn't see a market for it. They didn't see anybody using it. So,
mm-hmm. I'll be honest. I've never used it. Is it? If Pinterest bought, is it some kind of app where you can, you know, pin news stories or something, or pin stories to it, or organize stories?
No. What it did was it gave you access of text to speech playback of articles that you save.
Oh,
and you can organize the articles, delete them, archive them, all that kind of stuff.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I can see where that could be useful or annoying, depending on your point of view.
Yeah, I'm sure there's people who loved it, but
well, yeah, I visually impaired people probably love it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. And then this really surprised me because I didn't know this was even a thing anymore. But we now have the first ever jailbreak for the Apple Watch.
Yeah, I heard that. I think I heard that late last week or something. I was like, what? Who do that?
Yeah. Now, just to qualify this is only for developers. Okay, that's really what this is geared towards. It's not geared towards the public at all. This jailbreak is compatible with watchOS 4.1 and the Apple Watch Series 3, but they say older models of Apple Watch and previous builds of watchOS are compatible with slight changes to the code. It's an almost complete jailbreak and will give developers root access to things like exploits kernel using was that Vortex?
Mm.
I don't know coding, so I'm not sure what that means. Remounts a root file system as read-write. Okay, I kind of understand that. Root access, extracts Bootstrap, and kernel patches. So it's digging in pretty deep. You know, I don't know. I mean, down the road, they're saying that this could give users the ability to install custom modifications such as interface adjustments, and the big one everybody's waiting for is custom watch faces.
Right.
You know, so, you know, jailbreaking, I mean, escape from Alcatraz. I don't understand this. Escape from Cupertino. But who needs the aggravation and hassle of that in their life? Right? I mean, one more thing to maintain.
Tinkerers. People that just like to tinker with things, Tom.
Maybe. You know, I say that. Yeah. And as soon as they have custom watch faces, I'm going to be Googling how to download this. I tell you right now, I shouldn't, but that's too would be too tempting.
I mean, jailbreaking your iPhone was a big thing years ago. Is it still a big thing?
I don't know that it is such a big thing, only because all of the features have kind of been opened up.
Yeah.
You know, there's almost no need to do it. It's to me, it's almost, I don't know, unless you really have something specific you need.
Right.
It isn't available anywhere else?
Yeah, it's the software. I mean, it's primarily so that you can like load functionality into the hardware that the OS doesn't necessarily support natively or hasn't been approved. But I can see where, you know, this is a huge boon for developers to kind of see how far they can push the hardware.
Yes.
Right.
And
right.
like what can we do with this if it was like, you know, our own little playground?
This has got to be Apple's nightmare, right? It's like, oh, God, now they're going to find out what they can actually do. They're going to know we've been holding back.
Say we're holding back for the slow burn of features year to year.
Right. And you know, the watch in particular has been that way, hasn't it? It's been somewhat frustrating. But only because I think, you know, on the phone side, you've got so much competition that Apple kind of has to do those sorts of things that it really even doesn't want to do just to keep up. Whereas on the watch, there's not a lot of heavy hitters, right? Mm-hmm. That would force them to do certain things. They kind of have it good on the watch. But anyway, we'll see what happens with that. So don't go jailbreaking it right now. A public service announcement right now. Do not do this. Yeah. But we'll see what happens. And then this was a little concerning, and I don't think it involved the Apple Watch, although I'm not completely sure. There's a company called a chip maker called TSMC that makes
Taiwan Semiconductor.
What is it?
I mean, Taiwan Semiconductor, right? They're huge.
I think that's what it stands for. Yeah.
Yeah.
They make, I think it's the A11, which is in iPhones and iPad processors. And they had a problem over the weekend. They had a virus infect their fabrication tools and computers in their factories. And they had to shut everything down.
That's a huge problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They said the company is still cleaning the malware off of its equipment.
Yeah.
Cleaning it off its equipment, it looked like it's like a big explosion. They have to wipe it down. But they expect to be finished soon. And they're predicting delays, shipment delays, and additional costs.
Yeah.
So
I can imagine that.
They hope to catch up, but your new iPhone may be delayed.
Mm.
And I don't think, now they do stuff for the iPad. I don't think this involves the Apple Watch, right? think we're good on that.
Yeah, I think so.
Should be. Okay.
So it was a few days, say, they had the issue or the shutdown?
Yeah, it said that it wasn't a hacker. They think it was introduced accidentally.
Right.
Someone jailbreaked the machine.
Yeah, broke their Apple Watch. And that, it was due to a misoperation during the software installation process for a new tool, which caused the virus to spread once the tool was connected to the company's computer network.
Wow. I read into this one, actually, in terms of an update. It turned out to be a variant of the WannaCry virus, the ransomware.
Really?
Yeah, and it turned out that what they did was they essentially had to shut it down when they found out that essentially the Windows 7 operating system that was running on the fabrication machines they weren't patched, and so WannaCry basically spread through the network.
did it say how the virus was introduced into the update?
I don't know if it was through an update. It's usually as a version of someone clicking on an email. And so on that Windows 7 machine, and then it basically wormed its way through all the other machines and caused continual reboots every single time that the tool tried to reconnect to the network.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah.
That just shows you how vulnerable everything is.
Yes. It runs on Windows 7. And you do. If you're running Windows, you need a patch.
Why? Why?
All the time.
I mean, this is a company that makes high-tech stuff. Do you think they would at least know better, right? And have some sort of system in place.
Right.
You think it's somebody's job there to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, IT operations.
Yeah.
Restarting a fab machine is a big deal. But you get hit by these things.
So is that – it's okay. If it was that, was it still accidental?
Accidentally clicked on something, yes, probably.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. So not a deliberate attack.
It could be too.
It'd be deliberate that the email was sent and you're nearly not sure what it's going to do. It could never be clicked or clicked and then just happen. So I guess it'd be deliberate.
But those are those are phishing things, right?
Right.
Yeah. Phishing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. How many of those do you get every day now?
I mean it's if you don't have if you're using some sort of major email provider, they'll have some level of filtering, but
they're getting good. I'm getting emails from companies like Squarespace, right?
Right.
I use them quite a lot. Mm-hmm. But I'll get an email saying you need to relog in or your thing is about done and your site's going to go down. And they have gotten so good at this.
Yeah.
And the only way to really know for sure is to look at where the email came from, the address.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cause they're never going to get the real one. And, but the thing that gets me is all of my, Squarespace is done on one particular email and I'm getting these on other email addresses. So I know immediately it's not them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, but oh my goodness, are they getting good at this?
I don't get too many of them, but when you do, they tend to be Apple, actually.
Really?
I'll re-log into your iCloud.
Ah.
Yeah. Or something like that, right? And that's not right.
Yeah, but again, a good tip, never ever click on, even if it's real, if you think it's real, do not click on it. Simply go to your browser. Go to the actual website and log in that way.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Never click through because you never know. Coach has a new band just in time for the end of summer here. Mm-hmm. A new summer band, which is basically, it's a really nice brown leather band with some little charms on it, little gold charms. And then they've got a sale going right now on a bunch of others. So you're into Coach style bands for the Apple Watch, you can check those out. I'll put a link in the show notes to this.
50% off.
What's the price?
Yeah, 50% off certain ones. All of these normally go for, I think, for $150. So now you can get one for $75.
$75.
Mm-hmm. There's one with a shark and one with the cars. It's kind of nice.
They're like 3 weeks late on the shark one.
Yeah, well,
Shark Week already.
They missed Shark Week, huh?
Yeah.
Like I said, end of summer. Let's see what else is going on. Okay. This is an article. This comes to us. You remember Ken Siegel?
Yeah.
He worked for an ad agency called Chiat Day back in the day and helped create pretty much the major branding of Apple with the Think Different and the I stuff. All of that when Steve came back, he was behind a lot of that. And we've had him on the show here before. We've talked to him. And he's been – every now and then he'll pop up with little comments about what he thinks about what's going on with Apple. And lately he said that Tim Cook is getting what he calls vanilla advice that is making Apple bland. So he did this interview with the Daily Telegraph, and he was kind of saying that Apple is not taking some of the marketing risks it did under Jobs, and it's failing to create personalities around new iPhones.
What is the tagline now?
Good point.
There you go.
There you go. That's all you have to say. What is it?
Yeah. Upgrade, please. No.
Yeah. Yeah. But he suggested all of this could be, I mean, he said the passing of Steve Jobs created a completely different approach to marketing, which we see the results of. He says, as a marketer, I look at that and can see the difference between Steve being there and not being there very clearly. I do too. I see the same exact thing. He suggested this could be because Cook is heeding advice to play it safe.
You've mentioned it a number of times, Tom, and in the times I've been on the show with you guys, mm-hmm. you know, that you've seen a kind of a change.
Oh, definitely. You know, he says in a big company environment, people tend to get safer. In the old days,
absolutely.
Apple used to do things that get a lot of attention. He said they should be building personality for the phone, a thing that people might want to be a part of because it rises above the features of the moment. He said that would help Apple rise above the competition at a time when smartphone sales are slowing. I agree with him 1,000% on this. And unfortunately, I had the misfortune of clicking on another article that said why Steve Jobs' ad guru is wrong when he says that Apple has lost their edge. So this person is disputing everything that Ken was saying, and everything in this article makes me want to, and it's so frustrating because there is no comment section. I cannot reply to this.
Who wrote it?
Fast Company.
Okay.
Mark Sullivan. And everything he states, in my opinion, is completely wrong. Everything that's wrong about Apple, he says, is right. And you know what? I could do a separate podcast on this. I'm not going to get into it in much detail now. In fact, mm-hmm. I might actually, we should get Ken back on this show to talk about this. And I will do a bonus episode on this because I could literally spend another hour talking about all these points. I mean, Vincent, you've worked with me and you've seen my little, have you seen my pitch on branding?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see how this is wrong, right? Everything he's saying, he's talking all about these specific features of the phone and how they're advertising them, and that's the wrong thing to do.
That's what my observation was. And if you can go to the Apple site today, it's very focused on the technical specs.
Yes.
And not the actual brand, the feel,
right.
The emotion behind buying an Apple device.
Yeah.
So
the focus, unfortunately, is on attributes and not on benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's a huge, huge problem. Maybe not so bad when you're a $1 trillion valuation company.
It could have been a trillion and a half.
It could have been 2 trillion. I'm telling you, it could be 10 trillion by now. No, I think they're riding on all the good fortune that Steve mm-hmm. built up by building this brand into what it is. And I've heard that before, is that you build up credit mm-hmm. with the consumer, right? When you build a mm-hmm. brand, so mm-hmm. that when something goes wrong, you can spend some of that money, right? You can spend mm-hmm. that credit,
right,
and they'll forgive you for it. And Apple has so much credit now that I think they've been riding on it. Mm-hmm. They're still making great stuff, but he's right, that edge, that spark, that cool thing is kind of been absent lately. Seems like they're running on a little bit on autopilot, but
That's fair. And do all major corporations kind of go through that cycle where they're young and aggressive and do things out of the box, and then slowly they're like, all right, we're big, we're successful, we're going to be a little less aggressive. I think it's natural in a lot of companies, but you know, maybe not with Apple. It shouldn't be with Apple.
But see, Apple was the only one I ever heard of that would kill a successful product because they had something better.
Sure.
No one would do that. They would literally take a product off the market when they introduced a new one, where everybody else would have just ridden that into the ground.
The too many SKUs story.
Yeah.
Too many.
Or just ask Kodak.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, I'll do a separate podcast on that if I have time.
I guess I can listen to it, but would love to hear it.
Yeah, or maybe if you guys have time, we got to get Ken back on the show. Maybe this is
a way
to do it. I'm traveling a lot lately. I don't know how we can, but I'd love to get him back on the show and talk about this. Okay, let's move on. I think that's about all I got for the week. It was quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah, it's more of what we've had in the last month or so. Yes. Or maybe 2 months.
Yeah, it's been quite the active week. So let's move on. I think it's time to do that. Actually, you know what? There is one more thing that I do want. One more thing, just like Steve. Here's one more thing that I want to talk about, and this involves you, Chris.
It does.
It does involve you. This is a product that you are an investor in, correct?
Yeah, I'm the primary investor, I guess you'd call it, or the major investor.
Right. And I know we're kind of hesitant to review it on the show. I love the product. I think it's amazing.
Well, thank you.
I just want to mention it here and update everybody on it, and we can kind of talk about the features of it. But it's something that I personally love because it solves a big problem for me, and that is the product is called BandKeeper. And why don't you explain it? Because you've been a little bit closer to it.
Sure. And you know, we did kind of talk about it on the show, but I think that it's a great solution. And I think that the genesis was we're all accumulating bands, and the three of us might have more than others because you know we get stuff sent to us being part of the podcast. But you go on Amazon and you can buy something for $49.99 that holds 10 bands, and it doesn't look very good. And then, you know, you put your 10 bands in there, maybe 15, and then you have 10 or 15 that are still sitting and need somewhere to put them. And the other thing I noticed is when you wanted to take bands with you, and, you know, I travel all the time and you guys travel, and you want to take bands with you, where are you going to put them? You know, you throw them in a bag, you throw them in a plastic bag, and you throw them in your carry-on. So we wanted something that was kind of mobile as well and easy to take with you. And then lastly, we wanted something you could see your bands as much as possible as you're kind of working through them. So the concept of BandKeeper, and it's one word, B-A-N-D, keeper, BandKeeper, was to have flexibility, take them with you, be able to organize them in colors or types that you can see them and you could easily access them, and then have a product that you could put away somewhere that looks nice and professional. Some of the storage solutions that we saw, they lay flat. You have to set them somewhere and you can't really do anything. You know, BandKeeper, when you look at it, it looks like a leather folder, right? So you can put it right up on your shelf next to your books or on your workspace. And it looks very professional as well as, practical. So you basically buy the BandKeeper. It's got the synthetic leather BandKeeper, and then inside of it is what really is the BandKeeper, which is the sleeves. So there are plastic sleeves, there's 5 bands per sleeve, and you can, you know, it's a 3-ring binder, so you can unclip it and take 5 bands with you at once, 10 bands with you at once, and they don't take any space up, right? They lay flat. So right now you can only buy the BandKeeper with 4 sleeves, which is 20, but we'll have the individual sleeves available in September. So you can expand, and that's another thing. So you buy the BandKeeper and you can expand Now, you noticed, Tom, with yours, and I've noticed it, you know, through the development process, you can't expand it too much, else it just gets too busy.
If you have too many, it won't close. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but we may work on some options. Like Bandkeeper 2.0 may be a little different, but this one is really good. And so it's on Amazon, which was a process and a learning process itself.
Yeah.
The person that did all the work, like I said, I'm the major investor, but the person that did all the work, her name is Michelle, and she actually works for me on my small craft beer business. Hmm. She put it all together and brought it to me and pitched it, and I said, I'm going to invest in that. And she knows everything about Amazon, and I'm learning everything about Amazon. I know how to use the app now. I can look at the the business app and see what's been sold.
Right.
But other than that, I'm not very good at it. But we've sold, we've had 22 orders and 24 Bandkeepers sold.
You just
and
launched,
it's been up about a week.
I say it just launched. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had sent me a link when it went up. I already have two. And they're completely full, and I've got a few other bands, so I'm probably going to be ordering at least another one, and I'm going to try it out on this trip that we're taking. So great solution.
Yeah, please do.
Great solution.
Thank you.
Prior to that, I've kept them in drawers, mm-hmm. and they're kind of loose and falling around, or you'll separate the two ends, the two straps, right, that mm-hmm. that go together. If I throw them in a bag, I'm constantly digging for the other one to match. And what I love about this is to put them in this thing, at least for the last week that I've had it, I'm able to instantly find the one and then organizing them. I never saw them all laid out like this before. How many leather bands I have, how many metal bands, you know, all the different mm-hmm. types and styles kept together is pretty neat. But like I said, I need another one, unfortunately. And you'll know why. I'm going to review another band today on the show. They just keep coming. But you mentioned this a long time ago, and I know it's been a long development. I just want to let our listeners know about it. And I know you're a major investor in it, but I still think it's a great product that they should learn. I almost bought, prior to this, one of those regular watch cases. Mm-hmm. You've seen those things on Amazon where you can put like 20 whatever watches in there, but you could also just put your bands in it, and it's like a glass case or whatever. It's this big box, you know, mm-hmm. that would just sit in the closet, and I'm the only one that would look at it. But I don't know. I think this is probably a more realistic solution. And
well, thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to take bands with me all the time, because when I exercise, I like to put the Nike bands on, but on in a client setting, I put on a different band. So I take them with me, and they just were all over the place. And with the Bandkeeper, the actual, you know, taking one sleeve out, you can lay it flat, you can roll it up, you know, you can do anything you want with it, really. It's pretty durable, and just put it where you need to put it and take them with you.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to try out on this trip, because I'm not taking everything with me, but I almost could, because they're nice and flat, but I'm not that crazy. I'm not going to take that many with me. Now I'd also asked you if we could do something for the listeners. Do you have something?
Mm-hmm. We do. So, we have a code on Amazon where you get 15% off one Bandkeeper or 20% off two. And it's AWCAST15. So AWCAST15. AWCAST15, no spaces.
Okay.
Type that in when you're checking out, and you'll get the discount. So what you have to do, and we're learning this too, you have to kind of work your way up to the top of the listings. You have to search. If you search, put Bandkeeper, watch band storage binder case. You have to put a lot in there to find it, because, you know, over time it's going to get better and better. But so Bandkeeper, watch band storage binder case, it'll come up.
Okay.
And you can order it and put the discount code in there and get your 15% off.
It was AWCAST15.
Yeah, AWCAST15.
Okay, I'm going to put that in the show notes, so everybody will know, and I'll be using that too. So there you go. You just sold one more by me. All right.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you guys letting me talk about it. It's a great project and a lot of fun. And you know, sometimes you're like, oh man, this is a lot of work, and you have to work with all the vendors and make it all come together. But it did, and we're kind of proud of it.
That's great. I mean, instead of doing like an actual, I know we just kind of did a review of it, I thought it'd be, in the past we've interviewed people who've created stuff. Mm-hmm. So we just interviewed you. So there you go.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
All right. Speaking of reviews, Vincent, what do you got?
I have here a free app from the makers of the folks at Zoho. They make a whole bunch of productivity apps for business. And this app is called Notebook, and it's absolutely free from the App Store. Notebook, and I want to try to do this actually on my watch, this review.
Okay.
I wrote all the notes up on Notebook.
Okay.
And it shows up on my watch. So on my watch, I have – so you start out with basically creating a notebook, and the notebooks are beautifully designed in terms of like a pattern that you can choose from or a picture. And so that's a somewhat skeuomorphic. Back in the day, you know, when you choose a notebook cover, mm-hmm. you drill in and there's six types of cards. You have checklists, you have texts, you can have photos, audio, you can store a file, you can even have a sketch, just like notes today. And you can put them all together inside your notebook. All these notes, just like Evernote and everybody else, syncs across all your devices. And if you have a Zoho account, you can choose different color backgrounds for each one of those notes. You can set alarms for a note to kind of come back and remind you. You can password protect it, share it, move notes around between notebooks. And then also the cool things is you can do audio notes, and then it will transcribe it into text. But I've tried that a couple of times. It doesn't work too terribly well.
Oh, okay.
It's about maybe 80%. Gets there. Mm-hmm. Funny thing is that it doesn't recognize the word Zoho because, I mean, I guess it's using Apple's own engine to do that. So on the Apple Watch, you can create a new note. You can start from there, or you can do an auto dictate one. You can do scribbles and it'll create a card within that notebook. So I've got in this one, I have the checklist in which I just kind of named off all the features. So that was one of the cards types. You can do an audio recording straight from your watch, just like just press record, mm-hmm. but it can only record up to 30 seconds. Okay. And the cool thing is, and I've never seen this with any other app, is that the audio plays back on your watch and on my beta.
Yeah, there's only a few that do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they're doing it.
I don't know, but it's very, very tiny. It's a very, very tiny voice inside a tiny, tiny box.
Turn up the volume.
I there is no way to control the volume, which is I'm surprised.
Put in your AirPods. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Something like that. So you are able to listen to any audio recordings you made from your phone. You can play it back on your watch, which is super cool. You can see all the pictures that you drew on the notes and then and scroll through those as well. And absolutely free app. Very cool, very quick. They have an iPad version as well.
Wow.
And they were like basically the 2016 best app of the year. Where have I been? I have no idea. Never heard about this app. Got a 4.7 rating.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a great rating. Pretty cool. I like that.
All right.
I may have to get this and try this out.
It is amazing.
It sounds like a neat app.
So, I mean, obviously more powerful than Apple's built-in notes, right?
Exactly. And it doesn't require a subscription or anything like that, like with Evernote.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, exactly.
Yeah, I never got into Evernote. I never, ever got into Nevernote. But this looks interesting.
Yeah.
Where do you find these apps, Vincent? I mean, everyone you review is awesome, and I don't know where you're finding these things.
It's completely random.
Is it?
I literally go to the Apple Watch store, and I type in a letter. And I do a search for a letter.
Really?
And
wow.
And I'm like, oh, look at that.
Is that how crappy the search is?
It is.
It's that you have to go by individual letter to discover something?
Discover something, yeah.
Wow.
Because it's the standard stuff. And by the way, I mean, the top two apps on the store now is mm-hmm. from the dude. Like the little nano Reddit one and the...
Chirp.
Chirp, yeah. Chirp.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, amazing. But yeah, they only show those things, you know, up on the top 10. And
Will Bishop, that's his name.
Yeah.
Yep. And Will, by the way, tweeted out a thank you to us a while back.
Oh, fantastic.
Us and a bunch of other people who had been on the show or done whatever. And man, we got a lot of retweets of that. That was nice.
Good deal.
So thank you for that, Will. Cool. I'll check that out. Notebook. Take notes. Yep. Sync. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. I promised a band. So I'm going to, this is one I mentioned a while back. This is from a company called Jord, J-O-R-D. And this is a fantastic band. And I'm wearing it right now. I love this thing. You know, once again, I could not resist because it looked so amazing. I'm a sucker for this kind of stuff. It's definitely the type of band that makes a statement. This is a wood band, okay? And listeners to the show will remember a wood band that we reviewed a while back. Mm-hmm. I think it was a Kickstarter or Indiegogo campaign. It was wonderfully unique. Well, this company, Jord, they make nothing but wood watches. And I'm not talking about just bands. They make actual analog classic timepieces with wooden bands and casings.
That's
cool.
The
whole thing. They're absolutely beautiful. They come in a wide variety of styles and colors. Well, now they also have a band for the Apple Watch. And I'm not sure how I found them. It might have been an email it was Prime Day. And they sent an email because they're not on Amazon, but they offered a 30% off that day. And when I saw it, I immediately had to have it. So I took the plunge. So this band is wood and titanium interlaced. So there are titanium pieces linking the wood bands together, and the combination is really nice. It comes in four different styles. There's an ebony black. There's a stacked zebra wood and dark sandalwood. There's a stacked walnut and olive wood. And then finally, there's one made of koa wood, which is the one that I ordered. Now, they offer a $10 fee to size the band for you, which is a great deal if you're not comfortable adjusting these types of links. I didn't do that. I kind of took a chance, and the adjustment was actually much easier than others I've tried before with metal bands and things like that. You have a pin that you have to remove to take out links. It was actually easier than some of the other ones. I had to remove one link to make it fit. And surprisingly, this one actually fits me. Usually I end up with something too tight or too loose. But this one actually fits. I don't know what it is, the measurements or whatever, but of each link. But together, it does fit. It has a really nice clasp in the center that opens when you squeeze it to loosen it. In the box, you also get two extra links in case you needed it larger. And you get this really handy little small screwdriver that they include for switching out the adapters. So that was a nice little extra in the box. And it has a wood handle as well. It's really nice. They also give you, and this was surprising, this was a little card that came in inside. They'll give you a $50 gift card if you take your watch to a jeweler to be sized so that you can do it locally. So you give the jeweler the card that's included in your box. You take a picture of the jeweler's business card and email it to Jord, and they'll send you gift thing for $50. So I guess that's their way of getting leads with jewelers and stuff. But it's a nice for them to offer that. So that, because they know if it doesn't fit right, you're not going to be happy. So they want to make sure it's sized correctly. So these bands sell for $85, but look for different sales because they do have them from time to time. I think besides that Amazon one, there was a Father's Day sale. I think I saw them in one of my emails, like 15% off. But even at full price, these are definitely worth it. Very good quality bands. We are managing on this next trip to kind of slip in a week of downtime. I think they call it a vacation. I'm not not sure. I haven't had one in so long. But we're going to try to sneak one in during this trip. And I plan on wearing this band while I'm hanging out by the lake and just taking in the last days of summer. So
it's vacation band.
Yes, it's a vacation band.
What city for the vacation?
That would be in Three Rivers, Michigan.
All right.
Which is just outside of Kalamazoo.
A lot of great breweries around there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, so many lakes. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
And perfect time of the year. It's going to be beautiful. Anyway, check this out. I'll put a link in the show notes as always. It's a great looking band. I love the titanium in there. It's just really, really cool.
How do you spell it?
Jord, J-O-R-D, all caps. Actually, their website is woodwatches.com.
Okay, there you go. I
forgot to mention that. Yeah. And take a look at some of those other watches. They are spectacular. I mean, if I didn't love the Apple Watch so much, I'd be tempted to buy one of these things.
I've seen wood watches here and there, and they look – initially, they look kind of odd with someone on your wrist, but then you kind of look at it again, and you're taken by how they can be designed and used like that.
I mean, they've got one here that's a walnut and vintage rose. It looks like a rose gold metal band, but it's wood.
Wow.
I mean, it's amazing what they're doing with this. They got a bunch of them.
For that other wood band, I don't think I was a regular in the show when you did it, but didn't you have the gentleman that went to China and
we interviewed him.
Sourced it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a cool interview.
That was what was the name of that?
Yeah, it's slipping my mind too.
Sorry about that. Anyway, I still have that one. I still love that one too. This is just a different look with the metal kind of interlaced into it, which is pretty cool. So yeah, woodwatches.com is their site. All right, Chris, what do you got?
Well, Tom, over the last couple of months, I've kind of focused on reviewing apps that are either native on the phone and the watch that we may or may not use, as well as, you know, general life apps. So today I'm going that route and going to review the Reminders app. So I may say, wow, the Reminders app. Some people may use it extensively and some may not. And I was one that never used it. It sat there on my computer, my Mac. It sits there on my phone, on my iPad. I've never used it. I've used, and I think I reviewed a couple of kind of project-based, get things done kind of apps. But over time, I was like, you know, really, I just need something really simple that just works. And so I started loading up all the to-dos and reminders and things I had right on the Reminders app on my phone. And then, you know, obviously it transitioned over to the watch. So if you haven't used the Reminders app, it's got a lot of nice features. The first is obviously you can create a general reminder, but you can also create lists. And the list is, you know, the folder of where you can put accumulated reminders. So, you know, you have work, you have home, you could have school, church, anything you want from a standpoint of creating a list. But also you can have shared lists, which is kind of cool. So you can create a list and then you can share it with other people, and then you can add and, you know, give each other to-dos or give yourself a bunch of to-dos that people can see or have shared to-dos. So it's kind of neat. I think that's a really nice feature that you may use, may not use. I'm starting to use it for my small business with the management team I have there. So we'll be using that. So after you create the lists, then it's pretty general where you can add a new reminder. So if you haven't done the reminder, it's got a lot of nice features where you can add it. And then obviously you can pick a priority. And then when you add the list, or add the reminder, you can just pick the list you want it to go into, right? So you can put it into the file folder. You can add notes on the reminder. And then you have a couple ways to remind yourself, since it is a reminder app. One is on a day with a specific time, and the other is a location where you can put in a specific location and reminder. So I used to have a reminder that every time I drove up to my beer market, it would remind me to check in on Facebook because I wanted to maximize the check-ins, right? So then it accumulates your locations over time, so you can just select the same locations as you go. And then lastly, it has a priority, so you can list a priority of your reminder. So once you really get them up and running, you organize your lists, you have all your reminders in place, there's a scheduled element. So this is a native element of the app itself, and you can't change it. But when you put all your reminders in your lists, it just accumulates. The scheduled view puts them in a chronological order. So like today, tomorrow, and then moving out over time. So you can scroll through and see what you have. So that's what it is on the phone and the iPad. On the watch, it's kind of neat too. It's definitely got a complication, which I use. And on your watch, it just lists scheduled, which I just went through, which is the chronological order of your reminders. And then it's got all your lists. So I can hit like home and open that up. It's got all my reminders in there. I can hit work. It's got all my reminders. But then I hit scheduled and tells me what's due today. What I do like about this and over some of the other apps I use, let's say you have a couple reminders at the same time. The apps that I had used tended to just put one up there, like the first one listed. In this, in the Reminders app, it gives you every one. So if you have like six things at 8 a.m., boom, they all pop up. It can be a little annoying, but it, at least you get to see all your reminders. So that's what it'll do on the phone and the Mac and the iPad. On your watch, you know, you get the reminder. It's going to default to the device you use last. So if you, you know, getting all your reminders on your phone, it'll keep going there. I've noticed that it doesn't, the reminders don't pop up on your watch in your notification view like they do on the Mac and the phone. But it's very good little app. I think that if you're using it, keep using it. If you don't, you should seriously look into it. And also that shared reminder is a really nice capability that you can use with others. So that's the Reminders app.
Yeah, just like you, I don't think I've ever really used it on any consistent basis. And I can't even tell you, is the Reminder app on the Mac?
Yes.
Okay. See, I didn't even know that. That's how little I've used it. Wow. Okay. That's awesome. That's a nice deep dive. I love that.
That was kind of a deep dive, wasn't it?
I
always ask Siri to make me reminders.
Yeah. So you're getting someone to do it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And actually, I didn't even say that, but you're right, Vincent. You can use Siri on your watch to create a reminder. And that's another super duper fast way of doing it that may or may not be a feature of some of the other apps that you would use for, you know, get things done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I need to remind myself to use reminders because
there you go.
They are very helpful. Awesome. We got some great stuff in this episode. Some really cool things going on. So we've got some listener feedback here. I guess we'll go ahead and dive. It's a long show anyway. All right. I was going to save it till next week. We'll go ahead and get through this. First one here is from Steve. Says, hey, I'm a longtime listener, and I just installed the beta or the watchOS beta. I have to say I like it, and it's very stable. This is Steve from Wales, UK. Well, thank you for your email, Steve. That's great. I also heard from a couple other people who have it. If either of you have a question for these listeners, let me know, and I'll send it along. So maybe we get some answers about the beta before it is released. But you already answered my first question. It's very stable, so that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. And then Debbie gave us a follow-up email from her previous email last week. She was having issues. It says, hi, guys. Recap, my watch would disconnect from the phone. You remember that whole issue?
Oh, yeah. I do.
Other issues started happening. My credit card dropped off of my wallet. Calls started being garbled and then drop. Watch would not unlock when phone unlocked. Setting turned off maybe after update. Several apps I used Touch ID would not accept fingerprint. Intermittently, I couldn't access phone with Touch ID either. Spent an hour at the Apple Store. They ran diagnostics. They replaced the phone, and I've spent most of the night resetting everything up. They didn't want me to use a previous backup since it might be corrupted. So all seems good now. Thanks. Thank you for the update, Debbie. Good to know. Yeah, every now and then it is a fatal issue that it's easier just to wipe and start over.
It is a man-made device, so there's tendencies to bad things happen.
Right. I mean, we were talking about trying to solve that intermittent connection issue, but it sounds like it was deeper than that. That was simply a symptom of what was actually wrong with the phone. And then Christopher Cummings sent us this. He sent a link to us. This is from a 9 to 5 Mac article, which is about how to speed up the watch OS update process. So this is very interesting. It's not necessarily recommended by Apple, but it does make a lot of sense. So what happens here is when, you know, and I've complained about this, everybody has, how long and painfully slow it can be to update your watch OS, right? It can take several hours, depending on which model you're updating. Vincent, I'm talking to you.
Yes.
Yes. The beta one, especially. Again, Apple does not recommend this, and they say proceed with caution, but this actually makes total sense to me. They say start your watch OS update, give it a few seconds to start the download, and wait for it to give you an ETA that shows up under the loading bar. And they said, now what you want to do is to open up settings, go to Bluetooth, and turn off Bluetooth. They said, make sure you go into settings and do not turn it off from Control Center. This should now force your Apple Watch into Wi-Fi. The ETA should now be significantly lower. Once the downloading process is complete and the update begins to process, make sure to re-enable Bluetooth, as the slowest portion of the update process is now complete, and your Apple Watch will now require you to connect to Bluetooth. So again, Apple doesn't support this, and you'll get a little warning dialogue that tells you to re-enable Bluetooth, but apparently this is speeding up the process for some people. It does make perfect sense. I never would have thought that you could even start the process without Bluetooth, you know, turning off Bluetooth, but apparently you can. What do you guys think of that? Mm-hmm. That's kind of nice.
Makes sense to me. It's along the lines of another story I read about, in terms of charging your phone. And if you turn off all your radio antennas and stuff, mm-hmm. it's supposed to speed it up by a little bit.
Oh, charging, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, hit airplane mode and then charge?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. real easy to do. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that works with the watch, too.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's easy to swipe up, hit the airplane. Right?
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for that, Christopher. Thanks for that. That's a great tip. I may have to try that next update. Ryan says, hey, Tom and gang, hope you are well. Saw this pic and thought you'd think it was funny. Keep up the great work. Ryan, and it's a photo, and I've actually tried this, Ryan. Didn't turn out as nice as this. But someone took a photo of their wrist and made it the background image of a watch face, so it looks like your watch is clear, empty. Like there's nothing in it but the time in the corner. This one looks pretty nice. Mine never quite worked. Maybe I get the wrong lighting with it. But take a picture of your wrist where your watch goes and make that photo a photo watch face. It's kind of creepy, but kind of cool at the same time.
Nice. I did that with my desktop wallpaper.
Oh, take a picture of what's behind your computer.
Exactly.
The wall or whatever it is. Yeah. Make it your desktop and it looks like it's... I'm going to try that. That's a great idea too. Mm. Thanks for that, Ryan. And thank you everybody for all your emails and comments. We love getting them and answering them here on the show. And especially thank you for those audio comments. We haven't gotten any in a while. So if you have a comment, go ahead and send us an audio comment. We'll play it here on the air. Send it to comments@applewatchcast.com. And I don't have anything pithy lined up to end this. So let me pick an earlier one. Anything else before we just swipe right to end this episode?
Swipe right.
Yeah.
Swipe up.
Say it five times fast.
Swipe right. Like you're doing a workout, right? You swipe to the right mm-hmm. and you can end it.
Oh, swipe right.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Do you not do enough workouts, Vincent? Is that the...
What is that? I need a work app.
You need a work app, not a workout app.
I would crush that one.
Man, you would be number one.
Yeah, your work ring would be, you'd have no trouble closing that, would you?
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/applewatchcast. Doesn't cost a whole lot, and it does help us to continue to produce the show. So check it out at patreon.com/applewatchcast. Links to some of the stuff we mention on each and every show can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to us in iTunes. That way you get every show automatically when it comes out. And while you're there, go ahead and post a review. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or even about the show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. And we'll try to address it here live on the show, sort of live. Sorry, we couldn't do Facebook Live today. It didn't cooperate. Anyway, look for us, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest. Have a great week. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes. Rocky Mountain High.